Dear Lord, I thank you so much for giving us another day. Thank you that you love us and that you are good. And I pray that you will be with us during this next 45 minutes, that you will speak to our hearts, and that you will calm my nerves. And I pray that your spirit will just be able to flow through me, and that I will just say the words that you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So can everyone see this? I didn't know if I'm in the way, if the piano's in the way. Is we good? Okay. So obviously this morning we're talking about lies that we believe. Throughout history, lies have infiltrated, just this world. Starting with Adam and Eve, when the serpent challenged the truth that God had told them. And then you have the Israelite kings. I mean, so many of them convinced the people that idols were a better God than the one true God. And then you have the Pharisees that convince the people to crucify Christ. And then, there's so many lies, and, there's no way I can go through and just some highlights. I'm just thinking of Muhammad, who started the Muslim religion. You think about Hitler, the lies that he told have cost them lives, millions and millions of lives. And it's still affecting people today. And then you have James Warren Jones. I don't know if you guys remember hearing about him. His made-up religion cost so many lives when he convinced them to commit suicide. And then there's Joseph Smith. He's the founder of the Mormon religion. And when in 1830, when he was 14 years old, he was observing the men in his church. And he was noticing that they were arguing. And they were, it was causing division and dissension. And the men and other families were leaving the church because starting other churches. And he couldn't make sense of it all. It just didn't make any sense to him. And so the conclusion that he came to was that the Bible must be wrong. It must have error in it. And it must be mistranslated. Or otherwise these men wouldn't be arguing over it. Now, I know that sounds really crazy to me, why he would think that the Bible was wrong, but not the men who were arguing over it. But that's what he thought. And so he ended up, writing the Book of Mormon. And then we have that religion today, and it's still popular today. But, you think about, why would people believe this lie? Why would they be so deceived? So let's look at Isaiah 43:7. Before I read that, I just want to emphasize that, lies come from just our own selfishness. And so what it does is it brings us glory. It does not bring God glory. So when we think about it, life is not about us, it's about God. And Isaiah 43:7 tells us why we were created. It says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Ephesians 1:12 says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So let's look at why people believe these lies. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So number one, it's our sin that keeps us from the truth. Romans 1:21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I like the New Living Translation that says, they begin to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. So the world conforms God into their image to feel as though they have control. Romans 1:24 says, "Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So people would rather believe the lie so they can continue their pursuit of temporary pleasures. So they would rather worship the creature or the things that God has created, mainly because it also gives instant gratification as well. And this is another really good verse. I love this one. It says, 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." You know, the world only listens to what they want to hear. What Joseph Smith ended up believing, and these are quotes straight out of the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, but this is what he believed. "God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man, and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. Here then is eternal life, to know the only wise and true God, and you've got to learn how to be gods yourselves, and to be kings and priests to God, the same as all gods have done before you." So when we believe differently than what the Bible says, we inevitably build up man and we diminish God. You know, life is not about us, and it never has been. Let's read 1 John 4:1-6, and then 13-15. They both talk about the same things. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And then 13-15, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." So there was a spirit of error that was infiltrating. They were lies that was infiltrating the church in John's day. And I know we've talked about this a little bit. It's Gnosticism. And it was a pretty big lie. And it seemed to have been like pulling people away from the truth. And John really addresses this. And I'm going to try to point out, I'm going to go over Gnosticism again, because I want to point out why John words things the way that he did. In some of these passages in the past and in this passage, because I think it kind of explains why it was so deceiving and why people really wanted to believe it. So, number one, Gnostics felt that the material world was evil and sin was part of the material world. So, you know, I was just kind of thinking one day, I thought, well, why would this be so, why would this be beneficial, you know, to believe this? Well, there's several reasons, and one of them is that when you can separate yourself, when you say that the real me is not a part of this world, then you separate yourself from your sin. So if sin and evil is part of the material world, then you can say, "I have no sin." And that is one of the big things that John did when in the first chapter, is he said, if you say you have no sin, then you call God a liar. So he's addressing immediately that, no, you are part of this world and you do have sin. That is part of you. The other thing is that they would say that Jesus, being God, could possibly not be fully human. So they're also separating him. Well, the benefit that that gives a Gnostic, or someone that would believe that, is that Christ would not be your example at that point. Because why would you follow him if he was never fully human? And that, I mean, that's just letting you off the hook. I mean, then you wouldn't have to walk as he walked. You wouldn't have to keep the commandments, which is another reason that John emphasized keeping the commandments, because it was necessary that we follow Christ in his humanity and what he did and what he said. And lastly, what this belief did was that the Gnostics felt that they were not from the world. So if we go back to this, and I've underlined all the places that John emphasizes that they are from the world, you are from God. And so he wants them to be assured in their salvation and the fact that they belong to God, that they did not belong to the world through belief in Christ and what Christ has done on the cross. The second part of Gnosticism is that one must strive for the elitist knowledge. You know, what I said before is that, you know, lies make it about us, and truth makes it about God. So when you're, what more to make it about you than to say that I have a knowledge that nobody else has? So then you're glorifying yourself. And that's, you know, we have to think about that with a lot of lies that we believe. You know, does it glorify God, or is it glorifying ourselves? Where is this coming from? But John wanted them to understand that these believers had the truth, and it wasn't a special knowledge. So the opponents, or these Gnosticists, they believe that truth came from within and not from God's word. They did not believe that we could find truth in God's word. John was trying to tell these believers that they have all the truth that they need to know, and that they have the spirit of truth living in them. The truth of Jesus is the only truth that sets us free from this world, and nothing can take away our destiny. And number three, the Gnostics couldn't comprehend how a loving God could create a world where there was so much pain. The Gnostics did kind of what Joseph Smith did. When you don't understand something, you just make it up. And so what they did is they made up their own creation story, where a less than perfect God created a less than perfect world. And what John was doing was, you saw in this chapter where it says God is love twice. And what he's emphasizing is that God is love. Love comes from God. This is almost like the second love chapter, you know, in the Bible, second to 1 Corinthians 13. But there's so much about love in it. And, you know, when he says God is love, it doesn't mean that God is equal to love and that we should worship love, but that love is an attribute of God, and that it is equal to all the other attributes. You cannot separate who God is from what God does. Also, everything God does, he does with everything he is. A.W. Tozer, in the book Knowledge of the Holy, says he never suspends one of his attributes in order to exercise another. So many religions today, they separate Christ from his humanity, but they'll believe that Christ is fully human, but they won't believe that he's fully God. But it's so important that he be fully man, because without being fully man, he could not be an acceptable substitute. And it is equally important that he be fully God, because he needed to be without sin to be an acceptable sacrifice. So even though we as believers are from God, born of God, sanctified in the truth, and have overcome the evil one, we still have a tendency to believe a spirit of error. while we are free from the power of sin, it's still present in us. Sometimes we let our fears, our circumstances, our suffering, just our passions and desires dictate what is truth. It may not be as blatant as the Gnostics or Joseph Smith, but here are some examples of error that I personally have fallen prey to. And now remember, these are lies that I have believed. I have a right to be happy. I need to be more outgoing for people to like me. God needs me. It's up to me to fix those around me. God doesn't care about the little things. It is my job to make my husband happy. I need my children to behave so I can feel good about myself. If I don't pray, then God's will not be done. The Bible is about me. My sin is never as bad as someone else's. Serving is more important than just loving people. Hanging on to past hurts will eventually reconcile them. I need other people to validate my worth. I'm only as good as what I accomplish. My marriage is keeping me from being everything God wants me to be. I need to punish myself for all my wrongdoings. So there's a song sheet on the table if you guys want to pass them out. But on the back of it, there's a place for you to write some lies that you have believed or that you've seen other people believe. So, and then there's a place where it says the spirit of truth. So there's a spirit of error and a spirit of truth. And if you don't mind, I mean, if you want to do this, that'd be great. But if you could take them home and just, as you think about it, write down some of the lies and then some of the truth that coincides with that. And then if you want to email that to me, I'll keep you completely anonymous. But I would love to just kind of compile a list of lies and truth that goes with that. And then if you want that list, I can let you have it so that you can kind of go over it and just think about it. So how can we combat these lies that we believe? Lies are defeated by asking the Holy Spirit to lead us to the truth. John 14:16 says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and he dwells with you and will be in you." John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." So the Holy Spirit will use the truth of God's inerrant word to guide you. He will never give us answers that are contrary to God's word. Therefore, like Jesus did with the serpent in the wilderness, we can count on God's word to dispel the lies around us. Truth sets us free. It sets us free from the lies that enslave us. The world enslaves us. We feel that we need this world to validate who we are. And there's so many different ways that we do that as people. Sometimes we just try to make ourselves better. Like, if I can just be a better person, if I can go to the gym every day, if I can accomplish what I want to accomplish, then I'm going to feel good about myself. You know, sometimes we use food or other substances to make us feel good about ourselves. A lot of times we use other people in our lives. You know, we use our friends, or we think that our children will make us feel better, or our husband, our parents. But that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody, because they can't be everything for you. And then there's also religion. You know, sometimes we just use religion. You know, we'll go to church every day, or we think if I'm just a good religious person, that's going to validate who I am. But it's not until we realize that we're already complete in Christ that we can let go of those things and let go of everything, everyone around us, and just let them be who God has made them to be, and that they don't need to be everything for us. You know, I think most of my life, you know, I've spent like clinging to one person. Like, I'll always have a best friend. And I use that one person to just be everything for me. You know, that may be the only person I hang out with, for like the longest time, and then that relationship will fall apart, and then I'll just go on to the next person and use them for a while. That's just kind of been my MO for my whole life, it just seems like. And you, that's a lot of pressure that I put on those friends to be everything for me. So it wasn't until I came to the point in my life where I realized that I was complete in Christ, that I didn't need other people to validate that in me. So instead of making everything about me, I was able to let go, and in that freedom, be able to reach out to just more than one person. I was able to reach out to lots of ladies. And that's just been such a blessing in my life. Another way lies are defeated is by loving others and speaking truth into their lives and allowing them to speak into our lives as well. So 1 John 4:7-12 and then 19-21 kind of picks up a little bit of this too. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." So lies are defeated by speaking into the lives of other people, speaking truth and loving them. I think Allison did a great job last week with our discussion on friendships and how we need to make them more purposeful and intentional. And part of that is just loving other people and being able to speak truth into their lives, because we all believe lies and we all are insecure, and we all just need to know how much God loves us, and that the truth of the gospel can apply to every aspect of our lives. I know a lot of times we just want to tell people what to do, or fix them, or give them advice. I know as women we're very good at giving advice, but really what ladies need to hear is what John was really trying to do with these believers, is trying to give them assurance that God loved them, and trying to remind them of whose they are, and that God loves them, and that he died for them. And that's just the truth of the gospel. So what lies are we believing that keep us from reaching out to other women? I mean, could it be rejection, or could it be your own insecurities? Could it be that you're afraid that you don't have the right words to say or enough wisdom from God's word? But really, it's not important that we know everything about the Bible. What's important is that we love, and that we are willing to just share what God's doing in our own lives, and how has God seen us through specific things that we are going through. So 1 John 4:16-18 says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Finally, lies are defeated by knowing and believing the love God has for us. Those who fear punishment of eternal damnation and do not have confidence for the day of judgment, 1 John 4:18 says that they have not been perfected in love. The lie they are believing is that somehow they need to earn God's love. But when we receive the gift of God through Christ, the Spirit of truth comes into our life, and he pours into us the love of God, and we become God's children, perfected in his love. We become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. This is what is meant by, as he is, so also are we in the world. Romans 8, 15 through 16 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. And then we have Hebrews 10:12 says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So we're perfected in Christ, but we are also being perfected into the image of Christ. As we mature, our love for God and others matures. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, Paul writes, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we know and believe the love God has for us, but we still have a lot to learn about God's love. If we didn't, I don't think Paul would feel the need to pray for us that we understand it, the surpassing knowledge of Christ's love for us. So we still, as believers, we still have fears about the world, but they are dissipated as we learn to believe the love that God has for us. So what lies are we believing that keep us from trusting the love of God? My husband is a State Farm agent here in town, and he was at a meeting, and at that meeting, he was talking with another State Farm agent. And this agent was telling him how they had just adopted a little girl from the Philippines, and she came from off the streets, but she was only like 5 or 6 years old. And this fellow State Farm agent was, you know, went on to say that they were at dinner, and when they finally brought her home, and they noticed that as she was eating, she was like filling her cheeks with food, like her cheeks kept getting bigger. And so they asked the social worker about, you know, why would she do this? And they said that that's very common for children that grew up on the streets. And they like to save the food in their cheeks to eat later because they never know when their next meal is going to come. Now, I guarantee you that when this little girl is 20 years old, she's not going to keep food in her cheeks. She's going to learn to swallow it because she's going to, as she believes the love that her adoptive parents have for her, she will eventually swallow all of her food, trusting that she will have that next meal. So we are the same. We belong to God. As believers, he chose us and he plucked us out of the orphanage of this world. Our eyes are open to the truth of who God really is and his love for us. We no longer belong to this world. We are set free, free to love and free to obey. While God's love will never be taken away, we have to learn to trust that love. We tend to still hold on to our old way of life at times. However, as we come to know and to believe the love God has for us, we slowly swallow our old way of life. So we have some time left, and I have kind of a song that I want to sing for you guys, and I've asked some ladies to come and sing it for me. And it's the song that's on the other side of that, the Spirit of Truth and Spirit of Lies.
Actually.